listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Never running on empty ground here, not when we got fine guests that join us live via Zoom. Guys like Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and friend of ours. Harvey, welcome back to the big show.
It's very good to see you. Very, very good to see you, in fact.
Buddy, you should have played you Blinded by the Light. The sun is
cold as can be up here, right, in Green Bay. But I will tell you, the sun definitely is warming. So when I put the blinds down, it's just sneaking through the blinds and blinding me.
You know, Harvey, I'm gonna be a little self-indulgent for a moment. I get to appear on Fox News this Sunday. They've invited me back. And I'm going on at 12:30 on Sunday. But when they initially asked, my greatest concern, of course, was conflict with the Packer game. Because often the Packers, you know, if it wasn't the playoffs, would be playing, you know, like noon on Sunday. I'm not missing the Packer game for Fox News, right?
Right. No, absolutely.
And then I thought, well, you know, I'd like to encourage all our listeners, our KTNF 950 AM listeners, our WCPT 820 AM listeners, you know, I want them to listen as well, but they don't have to worry about conflicts with playoff games in Minneapolis or Chicago, Harvey.
There's something interesting that this past week or two, well, the past week, when the 49ers beat the Cowboys, and by the way, everyone kept saying, you don't want the 49ers to win. They're much better. They can beat us. The Cowboys can't. And I thought, no, I cannot root for the Cowboys no matter what. Okay.
Yeah.
But I also didn't. I also keep thinking that maybe the 49ers are overrated. And the morning sports guys here in Green Bay locally, they were saying, why is everybody worried about the 49ers? You know, we've got Rodgers, we've got Davante Adams, and was it yesterday or this morning I heard Cobb is cleared to come back in.
Yep, Randall Cobb.
You know, in fact, if we could actually have Tonyan back in as well, then I think the path to the Super Bowl is guaranteed. I still think we have competition ahead of us.
Well, we certainly do. And that's why I'm not trash talking to our friends in Northern California listening on KGOE out of Eureka, because they might be 49ers fans, and I don't want to give them any bulletin board material. I'll take my chances with the Bears and the Vikings.
I got
a fine guest. He's a Packer fan like me. He's Harvey K. Harvey, I know today is the one-year anniversary of Joe Biden's presidency, and I want to get there. But before we do, it feels like the legal nooses are tightening quickly, rapidly around the Trump family. There's got to be some panic going on. First and foremost, the perhaps small decision, but large in that the Supreme Court ruled on it, Trump could not, you know, use executive privilege to shield documents regarding January 6th. We know that the Fulton County District Attorney is impaneling a special grand jury. We know that Letitia James in New York has asked to depose all three of the Trumps. And we know that, Ivanka has been asked to come down and have a little chat with the January 6th committee. She apparently was there when Trump was pressuring Mike Pence to overturn the Electoral College.
Yeah.
I've been hearing and reading articles about, you know, a lot of people that aren't news junkies, they don't think that January 6th was that big a deal. And the biggest reason they don't believe it is because they haven't seen any charges leveled against the players, against the organizers, the inciters. Because if this was a coup, somebody would go down. Somebody would be charged. Well, Harvey, I'm starting to get encouraged. I think we're getting close.
Yeah, you know, I have to say ahead of time, and I don't know if this is a conflict of interest, but let me just tell you before we go forward, my younger daughter is an assistant attorney general of the state of New York in Letitia James' attorney general's office.
Well, I'll recuse you from talking about that case, but what about the others, Harvey?
Well, but that's the case. Interestingly enough, I think these cases are all building up, and I'm gonna take a leap here. I may have said this to you before. I think that it will not be Donald Trump as the Republican candidate in 2024. I just don't think so. I'm not convinced that Biden will be the candidate in 2024. I thought it was a funny question yesterday at the news conference when they asked him, well, what about Kamala Harris? Well, first of all, I don't think you know, in terms of a vice presidential running mate in 2024. I honestly do not see Biden running again in 2024. And to be honest, I hope that we find a better candidate than Kamala Harris.
Well, what about Maggie Haberman from the New York Times assertion that Trump effectively sees the presidency as a get out of jail free card? And as the legal nooses have tightened around the man, it makes it far more likely he's soon to declare that he's a candidate for the presidency again.
Oh, I didn't say he wouldn't declare. I just said he wouldn't be the candidate. That's a big difference. And whether it has to do with litigation against him or the fact that his health catches up with him or the fact that DeSantis or Hawley literally decide they're going to break ranks with him and go against each other for the nomination. I think there are just lots of possibilities that mean Trump will not be the candidate in 2024. And by the way, you can hold me to what I said, but of course, since no pundit has ever been proven right on every occasion, I'm willing to stand for now on my assertion.
Well, you know, we also take wagers here, much like we do on the Packer games. That's Harvey Kay. He is a fine professor emeritus. He's a friend of ours. We ask him to come around and talk about politics. So, Harvey, I'll set aside the Trump for now because he's the last guy.
No, well, let me also tell you, I think you're, look, over and over again, I know he doesn't look like he's slippery. He just comes across as slippery. But I never get too confident that we finally have him cornered. That, okay, even though I think there's plenty of evidence by his own behavior, I think there's plenty of evidence. And I think that the January 6th events, the tragedy right now, in addition to what transpired, is that just as Obama let the bankers off the hook, my fear is that Garland is letting somebody off the hook who once upon a time was president. His name is Donald Trump.
Well, I would think with all that bronzer, he's got to be like a greased pig. It would be hard to wrestle him down. Harvey, let's talk about Joe Biden. Joe Biden, okay. one year in office. And the headlines, at least when the questions began at the big press conference yesterday, they had something of this tone. I paraphrase. Joe Biden, your presidency is a failure. Why? A lot of questions sort of tone like that. You know, you're going to fail on voting rights. You failed on the Build Back Better. There was no talk about any of his legislative successes. And we'll get to the part about Russia. But what do you think of the tone of the questions? I mean, I guess if you only come out in public twice a year, you're going to get some tough ones.
Yeah.
They seem particularly harsh.
Yeah, I was really amazed that he came out to do that long of a press conference. I mean, that was extraordinary. In fact, I think it broke the record for the longest press conference in presidential history.
Approximately 2 hours. We played the first 40 minutes of it live, and then we had to do some radio talking.
Yeah, not to mention, I mean, the fact that, you know, we've talked for a long time. Is he physically up? Does he have the stamina to confront the media beyond, you know, a 10-minute thing or 50-minute? So I want to say that I was impressed by that alone, okay? But I do think you're right, since he hasn't. Look, he's done sort of impromptu things with journalists along the way, but they're generally sort of earlier in the afternoon. This was a major event later in the afternoon, sort of what some people might have called nap time for some.
Oh, damn, okay? Harvey.
Wait, hold on. I know that's your drive. I know that's our time together. All I'm saying is there are those who treat that late afternoon before dinner as a nap time. But it was the case that, admittedly, he leaned against the podium a lot, but he really did, for the first time, deal with questions, you know, over an hour and 50 minutes. And it's also the case, however, as you said, is he hasn't been out there in a real press conference in a very, very long time. And in that sense, I think he's made a terrible mistake, because in essence, these journalists had all of this sort of anticipation. Oh, we're going to get him on this occasion. And I don't think that was terribly smart. And I worry that before that, his advisors didn't want to let him in front of the cameras for that length of time because they didn't believe he could handle it. And now that he has, maybe things will change. But you're right. They asked him, to paraphrase, as you said, has your presidency this first year at least been a failure? And I was, that's harsh. A failure. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I'm a critic of Joe Biden from the left, but it is also the case that the presidency was launched with the American Rescue Plan. And that was a smart and effective relief plan. However, and this is the key, that it was filled with faults. The most important one was the child tax credit, okay, which has now come to an end. And they should have fought to at least make it 2 years to carry them to 2022.
Harvey, my impression is the press conference went on far too long. And it's not just because he was encroaching on my radio time. It was the fact that no one sticks around. The general public, the voting constituency, they don't stick around for a two-hour press conference. And, of course, the news doesn't give context to 2 hours worth of questions. So you either get a hit piece over on Fox News, they splice it all up and they make you look bad, or, you know, you get a couple of good answers played on the 6 o'clock or the 10 o'clock news. But ultimately, the chance of going out there and blowing it, and I can tell you, Harvey, if I'm out there, and I've been to a few press conferences or gaggles on presidential levels, maybe not with Joe Biden, technically, I guess I've been close to Joe, but when you know you're only really going to get one shot at a guy, you take a shot at the guy, because who cares? You know, I'm trying to make a headline. I'm trying to advance my career here.
That's right.
I got Ted Cruz. Right. I'm going to put him on the spot. I got Bernie, or I got Joe Biden, or whatever the case may be. So even as a journalist, you know, you're still out there driving your own agenda in some way, shape, or form. I know the temptation, and I saw it play out right in front of the national TV over and over and over and over again. And then eventually, and it didn't take terribly long, Harvey, they got to a question about Russia. And it almost seemed like the president implied, well, you know, of course Putin's going to invade Russia at least a little bit. And that seemed like a bad answer. And of course, he's been eviscerated for it. And he's walked it back some. But Harvey, you probably saw it real time. What do you think when Biden sort of stuck his foot in it?
Well, it actually reminded me of a moment, I believe, in the Truman administration, when Truman gave an address having to do with basically the extent of American interests. And somehow, in the course of doing that, he forgot to include Korea. It sort of signaled, perhaps, to the wrong people that, yeah, we can back an invasion from the north into South Korea. And we ended up in the Korean War. And I look, it was not, he was weak on that. Okay. I mean, yeah, to those who don't want to go to war, it sounded like we were not prepared to go to war. We just do economic sanctions. But it was such a sloppy answer. And foreign policy is supposed to be his thing. So, yeah, I really think it was a terrible moment in the press conference. And indeed, if even BBC and elsewhere, the Ukrainians are angry with his response, I can tell you that. And it's almost as if, yeah, he said to the Russians, well, go ahead, you know, we'll hit you with some sanctions. Come on. I mean, that was weak. Okay. Let's also not forget to talk about some other elements in this press conference, because I can tell you there were moments where I thought, oh my God, what is he saying?
Well, before we get to the OMG moments, the Russian moment, and of course, it's complicated. And Harvey, I don't think the American people necessarily, even watching in real time, may not know that Ukraine is not part of NATO and probably wouldn't be eligible for NATO membership because they got a foreign country sitting on their border. You can't join a militaristic alliance in the midst of a war. That's not the way it usually works. They don't admit new members under conflict, because once you join, everyone's got to defend your borders. And we don't have any agreements like that currently in place, Harvey. And so I want to talk to you about that. You know, the fact that we're not vested in the same way in this one, like we would be in a European ally. I mean, if Russia invades, we're not obligated to go play police force. But of course, that would be a hell of a bad way to start the new year. Come back, Harvey K. Always a great way to start a Thursday. More Devil's Advocates on the other side.
Get over it. There's going to be political influence in foreign policy.